news, analysis, reports. It's the Alex Jones Show. And now, your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. In this hour, we're going to talk about why President Trump actually can and must do something to move against the Federal Reserve. Whether firing the chairman is the right move or not, certainly he has cause to fire him. When you look at what was done this last weekend, I reported before they announced that they were going to raise interest rates. You had one economist say, and he's not the only one who said it, but I like the way that he put it. He said, if they raise interest rates, they ought to all be fired for malpractice. And that's exactly what it means to fire somebody for cause. And we're going to talk a little bit in detail about what that clause about firing for cause actually means in the Federal Reserve Act that was surreptitiously enacted late at Christmas as most of the people had gone home. Now we have a lot of action that is taking place in Washington. And yet I want to give you, before we get back into that, some Christmas update news. You know, we have Michael Moore. I saw this today. He has now put a Christmas tree topper on his Christmas tree this year. And he's not going to honor anything that is Christian. He's going to honor Ruth Bader Ginsburg, or as I call her, Darth Vader Ginsburg. She's had yet another cancer scare. He says that his Christmas tree topper this year is better than an angel or a star over Bethlehem. It is this Supreme Court justice, this authoritarian. And I said, you know, do you remember when I tweeted this out on Libertarian? If you want to follow me on Twitter, that's my handle, Libertarian, not Libertarian, but Libertarian. I said, remember Obama's very first White House Christmas? Everybody's freaking out about Melania Trump having red artificial Christmas trees or whatever as a style choice. But they were bending over backwards to defend President Obama and his very first Christmas, December 2009, when he had ornaments that celebrated Mao and transgenders. And of course, what they did was they picked a guy who was already a controversial figure. He was a creative director of Barney's New York, and he had things that he would put up for displays, things like a Christmas window display of Margaret Thatcher as a dowdy dominatrix, Dan Quayle as a ventriloquist dummy, and so forth. So who would you go to do your Christmas decorations but somebody like that? And what he came up with was Mao Christmas decorations. Remember the pictures that they had? I think they've been taken down now. Also, he put up a ornament of a legendary transvestite. And we're not supposed to be concerned about that. And so I said, you know, when you look at this and you look at Michael Moore, you know, it was okay to celebrate Mao on Christmas. It's okay to celebrate that other Marxist who has stood tirelessly to kill as many babies as possible. As we celebrate the nativity, you can put somebody up there who has presided over the murder of children. And I said, you can't find three wise men, or women for that matter, in the entire Democrat Party. And it also tells you what their religion is, doesn't it? You know, their religion is to worship government. I also said, in China, you've got President Xi who demands that inside a church building, if they put up a crucifix, he demands that there be a picture of Mao. Well, Obama would be proud, right? You just take it from Obama's Christmas tree. No, you have a crucifix in your Chinese church. You have to have on one side a portrait of Mao and on the other side a portrait of President Xi. But here, the useful idiots like Michael Moore worship government voluntarily. They worship these authoritarians voluntarily. We had the first ever Arctic bank robbery they put out. And I thought, is this climate change? Are they talking about a snowbank? I didn't know they had banks in the Arctic. Actually, this is between Scandinavia and the North Pole. They had an armed robbery there. I don't know if they're taking away our climate or if they're taking away the cash. Maybe that's where Santa Claus keeps his cash, right there at that bank, close to the North Pole. Or maybe he's gone to crypto. I don't know. If he's gone to crypto, we may not even have a Christmas this year. All right, we'll be right back. I'm David Knight.
Live from the InfoWars.com studios, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show. And now, your host, David Knight.
Deep down in Louisiana, close to New Orleans, way back up in the woods among the evergreens.
Welcome back. You know, we had Michael Moore putting Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Darth Vader Ginsburg, up on the top of his Christmas tree to honor her. Better than any angel, anything that has to do with Christianity, of course, right? Maybe you could just get the Mao decorations that are left over from the Obama administration, from their Christmas tree. But we have in Scotland something that I think is even crazier. As we look at all of the political correctness that is surrounding the season, it goes beyond baby, it's cold outside. I guess they are saying that in Scotland, because it really is cold in Scotland this time of year, especially if you're wearing a kilt. But I guess years of wearing a kilt has confused the Scottish Parliament on gingerbread men. They have now banned the term gingerbread men because they said it promotes sexism. So you got to have ginger persons. And we're not talking about redheaded persons. We're talking about... but, you know, I think maybe they should just call them gender trans. Because, you know, these cookies don't have any genitals on them. So there is no objective biological basis to determine what their sex is, right? And especially even if you flare it out like a skirt or something. I mean, they already have kilts in Scotland. So we could just go just like real transgenders, right? It isn't based on any genitals. It's based on how you decorate them. So you could just decorate them and they could be whatever gender you want it to be. The genderbred men. Oh, I'm sorry, not men. The genderbred persons. Genderbred. Yeah, maybe it's bred as B-R-E-D. That's what they have bred into the minds of these kids that they have hammered this political correctness into for generations. It's absolutely amazing. In other Christmas news, I guess travel news, we have the TSA has made it official. They're not about air safety at all. It's never been about air safety. It has always been about exercising control and harassing people. It is theater. It is security theater. And we pointed this out years ago. We had Jonathan Corbett do a lawsuit. And he said, he basically defeated the scanners, the body scanners that they had there. And he sued them over that. As part of his lawsuit and discovery, he was able to find that going back to 2011, they said there is no threat against any airplanes or airports. Now, this was happening at the same time that Texas was pushing back on all this mandatory manhandling of children and so forth, sexually assaulting people as a precondition to traveling in the United States of America. And you had the Texas House unanimously pass a bill that said, you're not going to do that here. That's an unwarranted search in so many different meanings of the word unwarranted. And to push that back, you had the lieutenant governor here in Texas at the time, Dewhurst, a retired CIA guy. He was a made man. After he retired the CIA, they set him up in the oil business, the Bushes, and so forth. He got very wealthy. He spent more money than anybody's ever spent to get elected to statewide office here in Texas. And then he spearheaded the move, along with the federal TSA, to shut that down in the Senate here in Texas. But as they were doing that and threatening to turn Texas into a no-fly zone, they also had internal memos that said there is no threat to airports or to airplanes. Now, how do we know that? They also posted on Pacer.gov, where they put all the lawsuits up. They posted up on Pacer.gov by accident the unredacted lawsuit. They didn't want you to see that. And they left it up there for a while. And we saw that. And we reported it here at InfoWars. We're the only news outlet that reported that. Nobody else wanted to report what they wanted to cover up, because they put that up for a while and then they took it down and they replaced it with their redacted version. So we snapshotted both of those and said, oh, here's what they don't want you to know. They don't want you to know that there is no threat. So that's the reality of this. But now it's gotten more obvious. You know, one of the things that you could do to help security is to have air marshals on the planes and locks on the doors, simple stuff like that, instead of big, expensive machines that are going to bombard you with x-rays or the people are going to sexually harass you to travel. No, you could have air marshals, undercover agents, and now they're going to basically blow their cover by saying they must sit in the back of the plane. Why don't they just put a little sign around their neck? You know, here are the air marshals. Take them out first. Again, it's not about air safety. Air safety takes a back seat, literally, to controlling people. We look at what happened at Gatwick Airport. That was shut down for days. They had hundreds of thousands of people that were camping out for a couple of days, couldn't move. Why? Because they had somebody flying drones around the area. Every time they would see the drone go up, they would shut down the air traffic because it was too dangerous. They might hit them, might cause a crash of the plane. And then they would go to get the drone, and they would disappear. And as they'd pull back, they would reappear some other place. So it was obvious that they were playing a cat-and-mouse game with them. They were doing it deliberately. They said at the end of last week that they had used high-tech devices in order to find out who this was. And they arrested a couple of people. Paul Gate, 47, and his wife, Elaine Kirk, 54, spent more than 36 hours being quizzed by detectives over the device that brought Gatwick Airport to its knees. They then returned home today after friends and family insisted that they were not the eco-warriors behind the attack. And they haven't been charged. Though they were questioned for quite some time, they were returned home without being charged. Their friends and neighbors say they didn't do it. So now it looks like for all their vaunted equipment, they had the wrong people. And they sent them home. President Trump, meanwhile, says drones are a lot of fun. Maybe he did it. No, they'll probably blame, CNN will probably blame it on him, but he has an alibi. He was in the U.S. at the time. But he says only a good old-fashioned wall works. He's talking about the border. Yeah, we can put drones up and we can watch the people that are coming across the border, but you can't stop them with a drone, right? And you have to have some way to keep them from getting into the judicial system. Why? Because the judges will work against our interests. And that's why we have this government shutdown. And I hope it continues for a while. President Trump has done the right thing. But President Trump needs to understand he has more power than he even recognizes at this moment. President Trump and White House Secretary Sarah Sanders have both now said, why is it that we can protect other countries, but we can't protect our borders? They're getting very close to the answer. The answer is that there is no prohibition. You have the authority and the duty to protect our country at the border, President Trump. And you don't need the permission of any judges to do it. You don't need funding from the Mexican government to do it. And you don't need funding even from the Congress to do it. You have a defense budget. How were we able to build a dozen military bases in Syria and four air bases in Syria? How are we allowed to do that? Where was the money appropriated specifically for that? It wasn't. In general, it was supposedly about the defense of our country. Now, I can make a much better case that we're defending our country at this border than you can about what's happening in Syria. You know, we're supposed to have a vote before we invade another country. We didn't have that vote under the Constitution. So all the people saying that President Trump can't do this legally at the border because of posse comitatus or some other imagined legal obstacle to that. Posse comitatus is about using the military as law enforcement in our country against our citizens. This would be used to keep people who are not our citizens out of our country, because once they get in the country, they then become the wards of the activist federal judges. And President Trump needs to understand that he has both the authority and the duty to protect our border. And that means using military expenditures to build the border, to build the wall, if necessary. I mean, even at the border, once the people come across, they said, all right, we're not going to separate families. If somebody says that this is their child, we don't know. We don't have any papers or any way to get any information about them. So instead of separating them, we'll keep them together for a while until we can do some DNA testing or do something to try to determine who these people are. They just showed up without any papers at our doorstep, wanting to be our dependents. And where do they go for all that? Well, they are taken to a military base. Where do we find the authority to house people from other countries? But we can't find the authority to keep them out of our country, to keep them out of our judicial system. And then we got Jimmy Kimmel. What a piece of excrement, mocking the people who are donating to this GoFundMe wall. If our elected representatives won't fund it, we'll fund it ourselves. Seems like back, let's take a look at the wall. Because we're told that there's not any money for the wall. And I don't believe it. Mark Meadows doesn't believe it. He said, we spend more money on sugar subsidies than we're asking for this. And when you look at the total amount, as I mentioned, we spend $4 trillion on the budget. $5 billion is less than 1/8 of 1%. So if you got a dollar to spend, that's 1/8 of a penny, if you want to think of it that way. But there's many other different ways that you can think about this. I mean, we've got, as Daily Caller points out, the government lost more money bailing out General Motors than is being asked for the wall. According to a 2014 Special Inspector General report, American taxpayers took an $11.2 billion loss on its bailout of General Motors. That's more than twice as much as they're asking for the wall. After the automaker declared bankruptcy in 2009, the government invested $49.5 billion in the company with a 61% equity share. Over time, GM's stock price dropped, and despite selling back shares, the U.S. government took a multi-billion dollar losses, over $11 billion. Now, of course, General Motors was bragging about the fact that they had paid back all that money with interest. And that was phony. They had a couple of different accounts. They had one that was a loan, and then they had another one that was an outright grant, which is what this is talking about. They've just basically moved the money from one place to the other and said, look, we paid you back. Kind of like what happened with the banks and the bailout system that we had with that. The Federal Reserve obligingly took the interest rates down to 0% so they could pay back all that money with 0% loans. They don't do that for you, do they? Oh, that's right, they don't. Yeah. Especially if you got a credit card this time of year. You're going to be paying probably anywhere from 15 to 25% interest, and they may go up on that if they say that you represent a credit risk to them. You know, if somebody in your family gets sick and you have a health issue, and they say, oh, your credit rating just went down, so we're going to go up on your credit card rate. Yeah, we do live in Potterville, don't we? Like it's a wonderful lie. And I think like George Bailey, we need to say we shouldn't have to go crawling to the Federal Reserve, crawling to Congress in order to live our lives or to grow our economy. And yet that's exactly what they're telling us. We're going to tell you why President Trump can and should fire the Fed chair in a little bit. But let's take a look at some of the other things that we've spent money on. We had the Big Dig. Remember that up in Boston? They had a very big project up there, as I point out in Daily Caller. It was Boston's primary thoroughfare, and they rerouted it. They had a lot of financial mismanagement. They had design flaws in it. The Federal Highway Administration stepped in, and they gave them a bailout. They said, we'll give you $7 billion in grants. But by the time it was completed in 2010, the total ticket price was $15 billion. So we can build a failed thoroughfare in Boston that has bad design and mismanagement, but we can't do it to our own wall. Now, I think the icing on the cake for me came when Jimmy Kimmel started making fun of the people who said, all right, Congress, we have voted multiple times for these sellouts like Mitch McConnell and John Cornyn, who refused to pass the money, just a little bit of this. I mean, we're talking about a situation where it's 215 miles is all. And half of that has already got a fence there. They'll be rebuilding that fence. You know, that works out to $23 million a mile. It's one of the reasons why we can't get anything done. You look at what happened in the Big Dig in Boston and so forth. If we were to try to build an interstate system today, we couldn't do it. Why is that? Have we forgotten the technology that is necessary to build something as simple as a road? And I say as simple as a road because somehow we can, in all of our cities, we can build houses, we can build skyscrapers, but we can't figure out how to build simple things like roads and walls. They're just too expensive. We overthink, we over-engineer, and we overspend on everything that the federal government does. And why is that? Why do they spend so much more money today? Well, it's because of the bidding system. It's because of the inherent corruption in the system. These projects, these infrastructure projects, we can't get anything built because it is so bloated and corrupt. This is why you got situations like Elon Musk with a boring project that he's got where he goes underground with it. It's basically a good idea. What I don't like about it is that Elon Musk's business model, his engineering idea is a great idea, quite frankly. But his business model is always based on government subsidies from you and I and on monopolies. And as you saw the CBS reporter driving through that tunnel with him, and she was all excited about, oh, look at how fast this thing is going. It seemed real fast to her because it was very enclosed. They were only going 15, 20 miles an hour. But as she's talking to him, he said, well, you're going to have this on autopilot to make sure you don't collide with others. So all the cars will have to have my autopilot. She didn't follow up on that. So this is something only for people who buy your Tesla cars, right? So everybody buy a Tesla car. Or you'd have to buy some kind of, I guess, an add-on system or something that worked with an equivalent car. So you'd have to buy into his operating system. He's going to own that. You have to have something like that because you have to go vertical, as he pointed out. He said, look, we're traveling in a two-dimensional space, but we're living in a three-dimensional space. And the cities, they can't build the roads out, and they couldn't build the buildings out either. So they built the buildings higher and higher, but they won't build the roads higher and higher. That's what he's talking about, a two-dimensional space. If you go back and you look at the envisioning the future that they would have back in the 20s and 30s, early movies of that, they would show skyscrapers everywhere. Oh, yeah, we got the skyscrapers. And then they would show multiple layers of roads, which they never built. They forgot to do that. They didn't want to do that. It got too expensive, too corrupt. The only transportation infrastructure we're going to have now is going to be funded by billionaires who then have a monopoly control of our system. The government no longer wants to provide infrastructure. Just like we see with this attitude about the border, they don't want to do anything to serve us. It's all self-serving about their interests. And they will let the billionaires control everything that you do. They will be running the security systems. They will be monitoring everything that you do, taxing everything that you do. The government is not going to serve you with infrastructure anymore. And so when you look at his project, what he's basically doing is he is going three-dimensional by being able to go underground. He can expand it three-dimensionally. Makes perfectly good sense. But it is a fascist economic model where the government becomes increasingly more of a police state, a surveillance state, not interested with building infrastructure. That will be owned and built by their crony capitalist friends like Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos. That's the sad part about that. But getting back to the wall, getting back to what Jimmy Kimmel did, we got a clip of Jimmy Kimmel. We're going to play that for you when we come back. I went a little bit long on this. And then we're also going to talk about why we should and could, President Trump could, end the Federal Reserve. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic, it's Alex Jones.
Baby, baby, I'm gonna leave you.
Broadcasting live from the UN stronghold, Austin, Texas, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show. And now, your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. You know, on Thursday, we had Jimmy Kimmel, along with Stephen Colbert. He seems to be, these two guys are the Democrat Party's court jesters. And they're not really funny, but they are partisan and they are weaponized propaganda. They follow the rules for radicals set up by Saul Alinsky. One of those rules was that ridicule is the most powerful way to attack somebody because, as Alinsky said, there's no answer to it. So what you do is you ridicule people. And Jimmy Kimmel was ridiculing the people who wanted to have the wall built. You know, we have had multiple elections where we've had people like Mitch McConnell and John Cornyn tell us, yeah, we're going to protect the border. That's what we're about. Or Paul Ryan, even though we know that Paul Ryan's been open borders all of his political career, he'll still campaign on getting control of immigration. And they lie to us time and time again. And then we have the Supreme Court coming up with more rulings on Friday, saying that President Trump cannot stop illegal aliens at the border. The only thing that's going to stop them, folks, is some kind of a physical barrier. So the American people, especially one individual, Brian Colfagy, I think is the way you pronounce his name. He was the triple amputee. He lost three limbs in Iraq. And he had a conservative blog or some kind of a publication on Facebook. And they had encouraged him to spend money promoting it. He had spent over $300,000 at Facebook's urging to promote his conservative organization. And then they just terminated him without any explanation. Well, he's back. And he's back with his GoFundMe campaign. He wants to raise $1 billion for the wall. And people who voted for it are willing to pay for it as well. And so Jimmy Kimmel can't ignore that. It's gotten too big. First time I saw this, I printed out an article from the preceding evening, and it was $400,000. And then the next day, I was reporting on it, and I was on air, and the crew came on and said, no, that's actually $4 million now. It's like, what? Grew by a factor of 10 in like 12 hours? And then by the afternoon, we had a story that went up at InfoWars.com. It was up to 5 at that point. The next day, it was up to 10. Now it is up to 16.2 million. It grew $100,000 just in the last hour. So it can't be ignored. So what are they going to do to try to stop it? They're going to ridicule it. They're going to use clowns like Jimmy Kimmel, who said this. He said the twist in all of this, and the government shutdown and so forth, is that the president might not need Mexico or Congress to pay for the wall at all, because there's some very dopey people ready to pay for it themselves. And he talks about the GoFundMe campaign to the point he was mocking it. It was only $9 million. But he said, a more useful thing to do with your money would be to go outside and feed it to a bird. But you do have to admire the sacrifice that they're making. I mean, a lot of these people are dipping into their meth money for this. And on top of all that, Trump's Secretary of Defense, General Mattis, surprised everyone and resigned today, is what he said. So that is Jimmy Kimmel's take on all this. Now, Ted Cruz is saying President Trump is not going to capitulate over this $5 billion demand. As I said before, the sad thing about this is that with the inefficiency, the corruption, and the overspending and overengineering that is endemic to our government anymore, it's basically paralyzed when it comes to infrastructure. We can't build the infrastructure, not only because we're spending so much money to destroy the infrastructure of other countries in undeclared wars and rebuilding their infrastructure before we build ours, but it's also because we are so grossly inefficient at what we do. I seriously doubt that if we go in and try to rebuild some of the infrastructure in Iraq or Afghanistan, that we're paying the kind of money that we're paying for this wall, $23 million a mile. I seriously doubt that. But there is no support. The reason we have this GoFundMe campaign is because look at what the Republicans in Congress did. People like Mitch McConnell. As the Dallas News is pointing out on Friday, they said 60 senators do not support the so-called nuclear option, they said, including Mitch McConnell. Well, I don't know that it's 60 senators. That is the nuclear option rule of 60 senators. I don't think they had a head count, because you got the majority whip, John Cornyn of Texas, where a vast majority of these people are coming in, doesn't want to protect Texas. He wants to protect Washington. See, John Cornyn would like to keep the Washington government that doesn't care about this existential threat to our country. He wants to keep Washington going. Let's open Washington and keep the border open at the same time. We're not going to close them both. John Cornyn said Trump's demand to end the filibuster reflects, quote, a desire for immediate gratification without regard for long-term consequences. In other words, Trump's a baby. Trump wants it right now, says John Cornyn. Remember that, Republicans of Texas. I'll remember that. He was also mocking President Trump on other issues about the border, as well as foreign policy issues, John Cornyn. It's just absolutely amazing to see these people do it. And of course, he's joined in all of this by people like Lamar Alexander and Jeff Flake. I'm glad to see these people going. It's about time that we see very clearly the people in the Republican Party who don't want this country to continue. Mark Meadows said, we spend more money on sugar subsidies. I find it just incomprehensible that we can't secure our nation. It's time we put this on President Trump's desk. And they did in the House, basically because of Mark Meadows. It wasn't going to be brought up by Paul Ryan, but it was Mark Meadows going to President Trump. And they did take it to a vote. They did pass it. But, of course, Mitch McConnell shut it down. And so as we the other thing that happened on Friday, later on Friday, we had the Supreme Court. You had John Roberts joining the liberal colleagues on Friday to rule that President Trump cannot stop illegal alien invasion, as the New American pointed out. In a two-sentence order, joined by Chief Justice John Roberts, who was appointed by Bush, the man who twice helped to rescue Obamacare, that's unconstitutional, the court blocked the administration's attempt to stop illegal aliens from simply claiming asylum. Now, any illegal alien who crosses a border can apply for asylum, and the U.S. government can't refuse to hear his case. And so this is why you have to have a physical border to keep that from happening, to keep them in their country. That's why using the military to keep them in their country is not a violation of posse comitatus. It is a violation of the promise to defend our country not to use the military to do this. You're keeping foreign citizens in their country. You're keeping them from entering the country. You're not using the military for law enforcement against American citizens inside the country. You're keeping them from coming into the country. That is the very thing that the military should be used for. And as they point out, the New American. So here's a message to 158 million people in the world who want to immigrate to the U.S. The door is open. Come on in. We know this. Why? Because we had a Gallup survey, went over a couple of years, went over 150 different countries. They found 750 million people who want to change nationalities. They are trans citizens. They identify as being a citizen of another country. Therefore, they are. And we had more than three times as many people want to come to this country. 158 million people said, yeah, I think I'd like to go to America. They had under 50 million say they'd like to go to Canada. That was the number two destination of all of these transient trans citizens that are out there. And so they're not making this up. That's 158 million people who told Gallup that they want to come to America. Why not? We got a big welfare magnet to take care of them. And we got a Supreme Court that says that President Trump can't stop that. Now, President Trump needs to understand, as he's taking on the presidential mantle this week, he needs to understand that he has the authority under the Constitution to do this, and they can't stop him from doing that. We have the example of Andrew Jackson, who told the Supreme Court, you've made your decision, let's see you enforce it. And that's what President Trump needs to tell the Supreme Court, and especially all of these federal judges. There's absolutely nothing in the Constitution that gives every single federal judge the power of veto to stop the president from doing his constitutionally delegated, specifically delegated power to protect our borders. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back. Before we get into why, and President Trump should, of course, fire the Fed's Chair Powell, and how he has the authority to do that, before we get into that and take a look at what's really involved here. And I also want to talk about LeBron James' comment about the old white NFL owners have a slave mentality. I'm going to tell you who the real slaves in this equation are. It's not the millionaire players out there, of course. A lot of people have made that point. But they haven't really talked about who the people are who are really enslaved by these professional sports teams. I'll give you a couple of seconds to think about who that is. But before we get to that, before we talk about the Fed, I just want to remind you of the sales that we have at InfoWarsStore.com right now. We have brought back all of our 12 days of Christmas specials, the 24-hour specials that we had, just like the song. They're all there. And we've got discounts from 50 to 60% on those specials. We have some things that are 75% off at InfoWarsStore.com. We're trying to clear the inventory because there's a very large inventory tax here in Texas. We want to get that done before the end of the year. So we've got massive discounts. We have free shipping store-wide. We have double Patriot points. Of course, that's our award system so that you can get discounts on future purchases, and you get a free T-shirt with every order. All of that. Free shipping, double Patriot points, free T-shirt with every order, and 50 to 75% off the items that are at the store. So take a look at what we've got at InfoWarsStore.com. Folks, this is a great opportunity to support InfoWars, to support the First Amendment, to support your health and preparedness and that of your family. You know, a lot of the things that we give at Christmas time are things just for momentary fun, but it's as we look at the new year and as people start to think about their health, this is a good time to educate your friends and family about how important it is to take care of their health. And we have a lot of very good natural products that will help you with that. Let's take a look quickly now about this Fed issue. Of course, we had President Trump, as Bloomberg was reporting over the weekend, had discussed firing Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell. Four people familiar with the matter said, yeah, he's talking about this. This isn't something that just came up, but this is something that was talked about more this week than it has been in the past. Why? Because we've got the Federal Reserve under Powell raising interest rates yet again with a shaky stock market, with housing markets across the country in very difficult situations. We've had a lot of markets where, like in the Las Vegas market, they had over 7,000 homes that didn't get a single offer. This is pretty much unprecedented. But we have reports of slowing markets all the way across the country. Dallas, New York, Florida, Las Vegas, other places. It's getting shaky. And then you have the Federal Reserve coming in and say, well, yeah, we're going to raise interest rates and I'm not going to stop. I'm going to do more of it next year. And now we have them trying to walk this back. Even though they said that the president has talked privately, according to people that were familiar with the matter, four people they had talked to, Bloomberg said. He talked privately about firing Powell many times the past few days, said two of the people. They said any attempt by Trump to push out Powell would have a devastating ripple, undermining investors' confidence in the central bank's ability to shepherd the economy without political interference. Come on. Seriously, you think the Federal Reserve isn't interfering with our economy? You've got a lot of confidence in the Federal Reserve after what they did. You got a lot of economists saying if they raise interest rates before they did, they'll all be fired for malpractice. And then they go on to say this in the Bloomberg article. It's unclear how much legal authority the president has to fire Powell. No, it's not. The Federal Reserve Act says that governors may be removed for cause by the president. And then they go on to whine about the separation of politics from monetary policy, you know, this wall of separation, like we have church and state or something, which is not in the Constitution. And when Jefferson said that, he meant a wall around the government to keep them out of the church, not the other way around. Nevertheless, the separation of politics from monetary policy is supposed to instill confidence that Fed officials will do what's right for the economy on the long term rather than bend to the short term whims of a politician. So how have they been doing in terms of managing the economy, folks? I mean, look at the Great Recession that we had 10 years ago. And then they turned around and did exactly the same thing again. China is allowed to have 10% a year growth for 40 years. They were just bragging about that. This last week, we had President Xi saying, look at this, after Ding instituted his reforms, we've had 9.5% per year growth in China. But here in America, according to the Fed and according to all these experts on Wall Street and Bloomberg, we are going to melt down. We're going to have uncontrolled inflation if we have more than 2 or 3% growth. If we get more than that, the Fed has to throttle down the economy, except that there's already signs that it's been throttled, maybe too much, and they still continue to raise interest rates. But why is it that China gets a pass? Why is it that China can grow 3 to 4 times as fast as we can? In the same way that they're allowed to have tariffs that are 10 times what our tariffs are on their products coming into our country. And when President Trump says, all right, you're going to either lower those tariffs or I'm going to raise our tariffs to your level. And they say, look at what Trump is doing. This is terrible. He's going to destroy this country because he's raising tariffs up to the level the Chinese have. Well, if you don't like high tariffs, then why do you like them when China does it? If you don't like high growth, why do you allow China to have it? It's because the Federal Reserve and these globalists don't care about America. And they think that we have to come crawling to them for permission. I said this the day after the election. People were talking already about whether or not Trump would fire Janet Yellen. Wall Street was writing stuff that said, oh, no, he's not going to do that. We've got to keep the Fed independent. He's not going to fire Janet Yellen. And then on December the 14th, 2016, after President Trump was elected on November the 8th, This article from Fortune said Janet Yellen and the Fed rise interest rates for the first time in 2016. At that time, they said they're going to raise it by a quarter of a percentage point to a half a percent, between a half a percent and three quarters of a percent. Now they've just done it again. It is now up to 2.25% to 2.5%. So they've gone from a half a percent to 2.25%, from three quarters of a percent to 2.5%. Why? How did they get there? They've been raising it a quarter every quarter, a quarter of a percent every quarter since right after President Trump got elected. I said at the time, I talked about it day after day after day. When they did it the very first time, I said, we have seen this pattern. I said, you watch. They're going to do it a quarter per quarter until they burst the bubble that they created. It's exactly the same thing that Greenspan did, and they've been doing that. As Gateway Pundit pointed out, the Fed and Jerome Powell have increased annual U.S. debt by $500 billion just in the interest payments by raising these interest rates from a half a percent to 2.5%. It's 100 times what President Trump wants for the wall. So they can't find $5 billion to pay for the wall. But supposedly, you know, we can have welfare payments that are going to pay for all the immigrants who come in. And we have interest rates that have been raised. So then it's going to be another $500 billion more that we have to pay to service that interest rate. Is that something that would fall in the category of firing the Fed for cause? They said, after he tanked the U.S. economy by $4 trillion and wiped out 1/6 of the market, is that something that we could fire him for? This is what Powell has done. He had his October the 3rd speech. He said the economy, he's going to continue to raise interest rates, he said at that point in time. And then you have others say the president cannot do it over a disagreement over monetary policy. What does it mean when you say you're going to fire somebody for cause? You know, you have two different ways that you work for somebody. You either have at-will employment contracts, which means that you can leave at will or you can be fired at will. Nobody has to give, the employee or the employer doesn't have to give a reason. If you are somebody like a CEO, you know, like Les Moonves, you know, you get a contract and they can't fire you. You know, if you're Megyn Kelly or some other big executive, they can't fire you without violating that contract. So they have to show that you have done something wrong. So if you have a contract, you're going to be fired either for cause or for misconduct. And those are two different things. If you take a look at what this means, termination for cause, according to U.S. legal website, it refers to the expiration of a contract when one side fails to act in the terms of the contract. Termination for cause can result from work not being done or being done incorrectly. Do you think that wiping out $4 trillion of equity in the stock market, 1/6 of the stock market, you think that that's doing the right, doing your work correctly? Or is that something that President Trump could fire them for? Does it look like they're incompetent or malicious? That's the question, the only question in my mind. The other thing is serious acts or omissions committed by an employee that adversely affect the company's business in a material respect. So that would be what you would have in a corporation when you talk about for cause. That's exactly what they're talking about. Now, misconduct is something else. Most of these people who are saying that President Trump can't fire the Fed chair say, no, he has to commit a crime or something. You know, he has to have a Me Too violation or something like that before we get rid of him. And as long as he doesn't have a casting couch with Janet Yellen, we can't get rid of him. Now, typically in these contracts, they include misconduct, things like intentional wrongdoing or malfeasance or violation of a law or violating work and safety or harassing somebody. They typically include that, but it doesn't limit itself simply to criminal actions like that. All right, that's all the time we've got. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned. We've got Mike Adams coming up, and I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas.